Welcome back to In the Moment. I'm Lori Walsh. Frank Candelaria is in Vermilion today for a lecture about the Aztec Renaissance. Dr. Candelaria is historian of Western European and American arts music at the University of Texas of El Paso. His research focuses on Catholic music cultures in Spain, Mexico, and the American Southwest. His current book, Under Contract, is about music in early Mexican Catholicism. Dr. Candelaria also presents this weekend for the South Dakota Symphony Orchestra in Sioux Falls for their program on Aaron Copland in Mexico. He's with me in the Vermilion studios right now. Welcome to the program.
Hi, Lori. Thanks for having me.
All right. I'm going to admit right away, I've never heard of the Aztec Renaissance. Right. And so I think a lot of people maybe need a little history background to put us in context for what, what's the umbrella overview here?
Sure. Well, probably the word Aztec might be familiar to some of your audience. We're talking about a native community in the Central Valley of Mexico in the 16th century that was the first to encounter the Spanish conquistadores, or the Europeans who first came into the Central Valley of Mexico. For the programming that we have with the South Dakota Symphony Orchestra this weekend, this is relevant because the composer that is being featured on the program, Silvestre Revueltas, is a 20th century composer. He was born in 1899. He dies in 1940. But he's writing at a time when artists, composers, writers are reaching back to their imagined pre-European existence. And okay. So the Aztecs represent that. So it's an artistic rebirth in the 20th century that draws from pre-Columbian cultures to foreground an independent Mexican cultural identity, not so heavily influenced by Europe.
So where did this come from for him? Where did the desire for that come from?
The Mexican Revolution.
Okay.
So Revueltas is an interesting figure. He's probably, I call him Mexico's famous unknown composer. When people think about Mexican composers of the 20th century, they might think of Carlos Chavez, who was championed by American composer Aaron Copland. But Revueltas is in many ways the more interesting of the famous unknown composers of Mexico. He's chased out of Mexico by the revolution. He and his brother settle at St. Edward's College, now St. Edward's University in Austin, Texas. And he's known there as a violinist, starts to dabble in composition, goes up to Chicago, works in Mobile, works in San Antonio, spends some time in Spain during the Spanish Civil War. He's always looking for excitement, so he puts himself in these really momentous events that are taking place in the world. Then he goes back to Mexico City, and in the last 10 years of his life, he writes about, I think, 11 or 12 film scores. So, I mean, I would put him up against John Williams any day.
Really?
Fascinating film composer.
And putting together a violinist with a sense of adventure heading to the Civil War and
right.
a Spanish Civil War. What kind of person was he? Just, did he do that for his art? Did he do that? I'm making Hemingway connections in my head.
Sure.
Is that just part of who he was as a person? Or is this part of who he is as an artist?
He was very unsettled as a person. I mean, he really was always searching. I think part of that was, I mean, he's uprooted by war. From his home. And so a lot of what he's carrying around with him, I mean, he's known as a Mexican composer, but look, he spends so much time in the United States, so much time in Spain. So I think he's carrying with him the memories of his most comforting moments. And he writes about this. He writes about this throughout his life, always remembering these brass bands that played in the plazas of Mexico in the small town where he grew up.
He's carrying with him his most comforting moments.
Right. Because he always relates those moments to being with his mother. And so, but these are the sounds. And it's funny because you listen to his music now and he's recapturing the edginess of those unpolished brass bands. He's not writing a music that's meant to comfort or soothe you, but it's always, I relate him a lot to the music of Charles Ives, I think, did a lot of the similar things in his compositions. They sound rough,
okay. But
they're also very real.
Are there other composers who are influenced by his work? Who is he influenced by?
Well, that may be one of the reasons why people don't know him as well. I mean, the usual trajectory for a composer back then is, well, you're influenced by the European masters and you go to finish your training in Paris, and then you come back and you make your splash as an American composer or Mexican composer. He didn't do that. I mean, in many ways, he's a self-taught composer. He didn't. Mm-hmm. He's really a virtuoso violinist, something that he studied. He took a few courses in or a few lessons in composition, but he's not a kind of guy who's digesting the canon and seeing how he can add to it. He really wanted to have an individual voice as a composer. Wow. So it's really hard to classify him as, oh, he's in this model or he's in that model.
So as he's reaching back to sort of this pre-colonial time, is he looking for certain instruments, certain sounds? What's the direction he takes there?
Yeah, well, when folks go to the South Dakota Symphony Orchestra concert, they're having one Saturday at 7:30, another one Sunday at 2:30. This is at Washington Pavilion. What they are going to notice when they hear the music of Revueltas presented by the orchestra is that he emphasizes percussion and wind. Even when he uses the trademark instruments of a symphony orchestra, the strings, he doesn't use them as stringed instruments. They're not romantic and lush sounding. He turns them into percussion instruments. The first time that we hear the basses play, it's not with the bow, they're being plucked. When we hear the violins come in, they're playing violent rhythms using just a part of the bow. I mean, the violin's been turned into an aggressive percussion instrument. Hmm. And this resonates with the imagined sounds of pre-European music in Mexico. You're going to, where you're either rasping or beating on tortoise shells, or you're creating rhythmic instruments out of gourds with seed inside of them. Wow. Very rough sounds.
So you've played this music in the past, I'm guessing. You're a violinist as
yeah.
well.
Yeah. As a matter of fact, the first time I played one of the pieces that will be featured on the concert, which is Sensemayá, which is an orchestral rendering of Nicolás Guillén's poem about killing a snake,
okay.
a pre-Columbian killing of a snake. So it's got. But the first time I played that piece, I absolutely hated it. And the reason is it made me do things that I had not been trained to do. It made me count in a way that I was not trained to count. A lot of our orchestral music is either in three time or four time. This was in seven time. And I wasn't, you know, I had paid for the whole bow, but I was only using about a half inch of it to make this really ugly percussive sound. So what Revueltas is doing is he's taking the violin, the orchestra, and he's transforming it for his own purposes, his own expressive purposes.
How long are you playing it? When is there a point, maybe you never got there, as a musician, where you slipped past what you had been trained to do and kind of mm-hmm. embraced his vision for what he wanted you to create?
Well, as I matured as a musician, I came to appreciate it more. I think his music is the kind of music that I think you have to be kicked around a little bit. You have to have lived life a little bit right. to really understand it. And that's what I think. When folks listen to the music of Revueltas, they can relate to it on a very visceral, primal level. Of course, that's after you've jumped over your expectations of when you see a violin, what it's supposed to sound like.
Right.
You know, it's very rhythmically interesting music. It's very energetic music. It's very raw. It's very real.
This music is not studied and presented as much as some of the European masters. Is that safe to say?
It is safe to say.
Or I just haven't heard it yet.
No, it is safe to say. Sensemayá, you might hear more often than any other piece. The real terrific piece that you're going to hear on that concert, or that you're going to see on that concert, is his film score for the 1930s film Redes.
Okay.
Which is just a beautiful film. Cinematography by Paul Strand, the famous photographer, direction by Fred Zinnemann, music by Revueltas. And there we get to see Revueltas, the film music composer. Fascinating music, beautiful music. There's going to be a discussion afterwards, precisely because I think you're not going to walk away from this concert without a reaction or response. And rather than keep it bottled up, we're opening an opportunity to have a talk back at the end of the concert.
Mm-hmm. What do you expect from that? Strong reactions from audience members?
Yeah, I've done these types of programs a couple of times in other cities with Joseph Horowitz, who is the curator of the project. And has the full range. Some people are outraged that the orchestra is playing this, shouldn't it be doing Brahms again. Sure, it should be doing Brahms. But this is part of the human story expressed through the music of Revueltas, just as much as Brahms was expressing a part of the human story in his own language. So I think David Geyer is a real visionary as a leader for the South Dakota Symphony Orchestra and doing this type of ambitious programming and then opening up the space for the audience to have its say.
And on the program tomorrow during the 11 o'clock hour, we'll welcome thoughts from Delta David Geyer and Joseph Horowitz as well on this program. And if you're just tuning in, it's Copeland in Mexico is what we were just talking about, Saturday at 7:30, Sunday at 2:30 with the South Dakota Symphony Orchestra. My guest right now is Dr. Frank Candelaria. And I'm wondering about, you know, as I look at the work that you've done, there's a lot of studies about faith and the intersection between faith and music. And is there a connection here in this concert or in what we're talking about today where faith plays a part in the story?
No, I wouldn't so much. I guess it depends on faith in what exactly, right? Revueltas was very much a communist, and I think that's probably one of the ways he's upsetting the apple cart with traditional ways of using the orchestra. That could have been part of it. But really, I think of music as a language. So really, the common factor in all of the work that I've done has been looking at music as a language of community. In my current book, which is Music in Early Mexican Catholicism, the driving force, the theme in that book is here you have Europeans coming into contact with native communities for the first time. There's no common culture. There's no common language. How do they communicate? With the arts, with music, with the visual arts. And I use that as an opportunity to make the case for the important central role of the arts in public education today. Of course, the arts in public education are the things that are getting squeezed out most conveniently, but my argument is that as a mode of communication, as a mode of seeking mutual understanding, we're throwing away the most important tools that we have to achieve that: music, the visual arts, dance, theater.
So when I think of colonial times, though, and I think of those cultures colliding, it's not a happy ending, necessarily. It's not a moment where they come together and use the arts to sort of create a culture altogether. You think that's possible in the future, though, to sort of integrate those things and come up with solutions accordingly?
Sure. I think we're still doing it. I mean, when we think about music in the work of cultural diplomacy, I think that we can move things quite a ways. I think the State Department had a program at once where they would sponsor or help help along the work of music and the arts and the work of cultural diplomacy, of getting, maybe people are at loggerheads over a particular issue, but maybe they might be able to come together for an evening of programming that they have a mutual interest in as human beings.
Right. Yeah. Dr. Frank Candelaria, thank you so much for being here with us today. We look forward, and you'll be at the Copeland in Mexico presentation by the South Dakota Symphony Orchestra Saturday night.
I will. I look forward to seeing everyone there.